What's next for IT? In today's economy, technology touches every aspect of the day-to-day operations of business. There has never been more pressure on IT to deliver for our organizations. So what can we expect over the next decade? We need to think differently about how we approach our work to continue to thrive into the future. This requires all of us to be intentional in how we look at our role going forward. Smart IT is an approach to getting the important things done by transforming the way we think, work, and lead. And now, let's disrupt the status quo, simplify the complex, and reduce risk the smart IT way. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Smart IT Podcast. And today, I'm welcoming Vic to the show. Good afternoon, Vic.
I think I may have detracted from your audience by saying smart IT because I might not be the smartest guy in the room, which is a good thing.
Oh, but you know what? We can work this to our advantage.
How's that?
All the young professionals out there who just entering IT, what's the pathway to go from not too smart to very smart in your career? So it works out well. So I'm thinking we're maybe around the same age. So I'm thinking I'm somewhere around 25, 26 year plus years in technology. How about you?
I'll put it like this. The first computer that I ever laid hands on, and it's not even boasting about who I am, a VIC Commodore 64.
Ooh, Commodore 64.
We had a cassette tape.
I remember those.
You had to load the cassette tape into the PC. That was my first personal computer.
Oh, man. You're trying to bring back memories here.
I think they have them in the Smithsonian. If you go in like in the section right before the dinosaurs or in that era, if you go back in that archive, you might find something on a glass container. It says break in case a Vic comes along and needs to.
You never know, right? Because depending on how things go in the future, AI gets out of control.
Oh.
We temporarily shut it down and we need some base operating system. So we go out there, find out who got some Pascal skills, some COBOL skills.
Break glass in case of Arnold Schwarzenegger coming back with this. I'll be back. He comes back.
Yes. And we need somebody with some Commodores, some Tandy systems.
Yes. Trash 80s. Get the trash 80s out, you know. Or even my first entrance officially in learning was on punch cards.
Dude, you took it back further than me. Hold it now. I never used punch cards.
High school. First, I was a senior in high school in Carrollton, Texas, and my mom was working at a IT firm in Dallas. I'm gonna say the name because then we got to get up to these royalties and so forth. But anyway, she was working with this IT company, and they had these magnetic disc drums, and she let me pick up a disc drum and put it and load it and mount it. I was like, I like that.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's smart. I like that. Some IT. Oh, yes.
Well, just for the sanity check, I do have the original three discs for Microsoft DOS 6.22 still in my closet.
Disk operating system.
Yes.
For those who are, you know, if you think it's DOS and it's floss and all, no, that meant something.
Yeah. And it's the only reason why I don't throw it out, right? Because I feel like something's going to happen in the future which requires me to break those things out and use them somewhere.
Exactly. That's why us digital immigrants have got to stick around and build a pathway for the digital natives. And everybody's like, what is this digital immigrant, digital native? Let me clue you in. How many of y'all seen The Matrix? So, exactly. If you weren't born the year that The Matrix came out, you are a digital native. Us digital immigrants, when Keanu came out and said, are you beginning to believe? We are those of that generation. We are the digital immigrants. So you digital natives, you got AI today, but the next that's coming up behind these, you know, large learning models and supercomputing and qubits.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your punch card today?
Well, you know, so, us old heads, you know, I always think about with the origination of the human learning, HL, instead of ML for machine learning. And I think sometimes the newer generation gets so caught up in what's cool and what's can be automated. I think sometimes they lose that joy of learning from scratch. You know, writing that first program where you can't get the calculator to work, which frustrates you. Like, this should be simple, right? Simple thing to code this. But the difficulty of getting anything basic to run, or you remember the old days of having to worry about the interrupt to make sure one device doesn't conflict with another. We had to manually set that.
Crash. Yes. I mean, just collisions were like constant. And don't even get me started with a dial-up modem.
So you were very careful how you use that very limited and expensive resource. So today, when you make it cheap to actually text and send messages, then you kind of lose what the value is of the infrastructure behind it. So I always think it's about how much does it cost to go do something. And when it's cheap, you can just throw it on out there.
Right.
So Vic, in the Smart IT podcast, we always like to kind of set the table here. You know, we're about the purpose of why IT professionals do what they do. And then sometimes, you know, you can get caught up in all the technology and kind of lose track of, you work for a business, right?
Right.
That business out there in the market to make money, right? For the most part.
Right.
So I think sometimes younger IT professionals can get frustrated because they don't know the dynamics internally for all the layers between them all the way up to the CEO who runs the company for money. So I always say, you know, you should have some level of business literacy to go along with your digital fluency. And as you look at your professional development, you got to kind of look at those skills that sometimes people call them soft or human skills. So communications, analytical capabilities, leadership skills. So let's talk about, you know, you get a lot of experience in the field going through these, I almost say decades, I'm going to say years, okay? But talk about the younger audience, right? The younger IT professionals, when you start to think about, okay, you got the hardcore technical skills down. What else do you need to be successful when you work for these companies in these IT departments?
Well, first and foremost, this is your time and it's your dime that you're investing in your future. So I congratulate you for stopping the clock and listening to a couple of gray beards try to share with you, no beards, our path and what we think works for you. You're going to be frustrated a lot. Embrace the frustration, because it's the frustration that you go through that strengthens your muscle, strengthens your resolve to continue to be an information security professional. Don't be a paper tiger. Paper tigers are those guys that go out there and they're getting cert A, cert B, cert D, cert F. And you've got all these certifications, but you have no application. So study with a view of how you can be employed to work for a company, to do a task, so that once you've mastered those basic entry-level jobs and functions, you can then be deployed, be an entrepreneur, be someone who has an idea of using technology so that you can then monetize yourself, because you're always selling yourself. Yeah. People always say, I'm not in the sales. The minute you go out and look for a job interview, that's selling. And the person that you're selling is you in your ability to work for a corporation and a company or an entity to bring value to their market space. So embrace the frustration and then reach out to graybeards like us who have extended a hand to build that bridge as digital immigrants to you digital natives, because the world that we have given you is your raw material. It's our finished product, and it's flawed. And I will always tell the young professionals that are coming up, it is flawed, but your mindset, the gift that you have been equipped to bring to our profession, to bring to our community, is to make sure that we demystify information technology. We demystify it.
Yes.
Cyber, artificial intelligence. We have a responsibility to not get so heady and so technical that the CEO and the CFO and the COO look at you as being someone who is off in a corner. My first military assignment, the responsibilities I had in a fighter squadron was to help the operations of the flying community with their information technology needs. So filling out those change requests, filling out those user access forms, making sure that provisioning was being done. We didn't call it provisioning, but that's what it was. Identity access management. Who has the role? Who has the permissions? Who has the rights within an organization to operate and perform that mission? So there are a lot of dependencies as information security professionals, information technology professionals, that it's incumbent upon us to understand what is the business that you're in. And I know it's not IT, but I always like to give folks a little tidbit.
Yeah.
What business is McDonald's in?
Ooh, I think I know what you're going to say, but that's up for debate sometimes.
Right. But the right answer is not food service. It's real estate. It's putting that entity, putting that service in a geographic location where there's a high traffic flow. So billions served. It's billions served because of real estate and prime real estate, where highways are being connected, where people are in transitioning from point A to point B, and they need to take care of this carbon-based desire, or you got to get the kiddos off to school, or you got to pick the kiddos, you know, to school, from school, practice, and all this kind of stuff. So it's about real estate. And who's learning that lesson and embracing that lesson? Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Watch them.
Yeah.
Strategically placing their footprint to where you get that, not fast food, but quality service. My pleasure.
Think
about that.
And that's a heavy point, right? Because I want the IT professional to realize what that's saying, right? Because they might think, well, hold it. If I'm learning how to code language or how to build cloud infrastructure or how AI models work, how does that connect back to real estate and the business model? It's almost like learning what your purpose is and that you're part of something larger, right? You just didn't go and do a specific task and then go home and that's it. You, along with your colleagues across the board, different departments, different groups, help bring something material to the world. And I think that's very important when you realize on those hard, frustrating days where you can't get this program to compile properly, or you're trying to troubleshoot a WAN issue or a security issue. It's like you're part of something larger. You're helping this organization. You matter, right? And I think a lot of times professionals can't see that because it's like, oh, yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Like,
it's just a trouble ticket.
Yes.
So why does it matter? Trouble ticket because there's another carbon-based individual that has a role and a responsibility to deliver a product and a service that they're unable to complete that task. And you and I were laughing and jabbing earlier about being grave robbers. That's our assignment. That's why you're here. You're watching two professional grave robbers pulling out of you that gift that you have, that interest, that curiosity in doing reverse malware engineering, in working with logs and going through the Wireshark and going through your workflow management and going through your identity access management, going through that network topography of creating that DMZ so that all those folks that are transacting economic business, information business, military capabilities and services, not that you're going to use some platform that's not authorized. We won't go there.
Yes.
But, you know, diplomatic, information, military, economic, those all rise in the information sphere. And as we look at artificial intelligence and large learning models, how do we come up with those foundational models that can be trusted so that we can be less toilsome in going through the process of provisioning and then defending against the bad guys who are intent on stealing and gaining unauthorized access into information systems, because everybody wants it easy and simple.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to explain to them, easy and simple means you've given access to the bad guys and they're going to take advantage of you being able to perform your mission.
And then, and even better is the magic, right? It's magical when you make it simple and easy for the end users who are authorized. That's the goal. But beneath the hood, very, very complex. A lot of moving parts, a lot of technology, right. You got to connect. And that's the fun of it, right? We like to take things apart to figure out how does something make it from the cloud provider to a data center to an endpoint,
right.
Wi-Fi, wireless, SD-WAN. Oh, and it's cool, right? Because you want to think of yourself like an engineer, maybe an architect, hands-on. There's so many different roles inside of IT you can pick, right?
Oh, my goodness. Oof. Oh, my goodness. It's the plate goes from learning to discerning to entertaining to, I mean, when you got movies that are now just 100% CGI,
yeah.
I mean, what is that? That's information technology. And how do you come up with these new innovative ways of creating characters, creating storylines and plot lines and making it relevant to us carbon-based, you know, immediate gratification vessels.
And I already say a reminder of IT's role in the entire world is when you see something rebooting, like in a hospital or a retail store, and you see, I think that's Windows. Hold on, I think that's Linux booting up. And all of a sudden,
there we go.
Interfaces in everywhere, every day to get your food, to get picked up by a car service. It's ubiquitous, right? And then you mentioned earlier,
everywhere.
Yeah, about military, right? So you're going to fight a war and you need logistics. The amount of logistics to require this technology infrastructure is huge, right? So you need to start talking about, we need that professional high level skill set in technology. And that's the IT professionals, right? To design it, architect it, build it, support it, and then, like you said, defend it, right? So that's a lot of complexity. So that's why I love this industry as a profession, you know, technology, because you're never going to get bored, right?
Never.
Get in never. Somewhere, right? Security analyst, maybe working in a NOC, maybe working as an architect. That's just fantastic. So, I mean, it's a lot out there. And I think when young people get in, let's go back to something you said before about the struggles, the challenges. Almost you say embrace it. Almost to tell people to enjoy the frustrations, right? Because that's the nature of troubleshooting problems of systems right. that us humans rely on. So the more you get resilient to forget, I can't figure it out. Let me dig deeper. Let me find some other people to help out. Maybe I do a agentic AI in the future to help troubleshoot. But you, as humans, you got to be used to, what you call it, failure, struggle,
there you go.
And then get
failure
to
success.
Yes.
So I think the common experience for the last 5 years has been COVID. Throughout COVID, I kept hearing this thing, pivot. We're going to pivot to this, pivot to that. And I'm like, well, what do you mean pivot? Yeah. So I got invited to a podcast and preparing for the podcast, I came up with the acrostic, which now leads into the book, Pivot on Purpose, which I will be publishing. I will be releasing it. It's part of my story.
I love it.
So as much as I'm sharing with you, I'm sharing with myself. In basketball, there is we just had the Final Four here in San Antonio, and congratulations to the Florida. Yeah, y'all got it. Y'all, my Cougs.
H-Town is so down right now.
Oh, I know. H-Town, y'all have my love. I'm going to be Texas for life. But pivot is one of those things that you have to do in basketball, because if you don't, you're going to get called for traveling.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us information security professionals, be you a new person, be you a seasoned person, we travel a lot. Yeah. In other words, we don't establish that pivot foot, stop, pause, and assess where we're at in the game, assess where we're at in the play. And I like when I do the presentation, I always have the game console device in my hand and say, okay, if you hit that pause button, what happens? The screen stops, freezes. And I think we have to, in our professional life, in our personal life, stop and just take a moment and not be in a hurry all the time. I encourage my younger digital natives to at least one day a week, put that phone down, pause. You don't have to be doom scrolling 24/7 and enjoy your family.
Yes.
Enjoy that moment of fellowship and dialogue with another person that's sitting right in front of you. Put that device down and engage with that person. Pause and reflect on where you're at, where you're going. I'm going to talk about the five questions that everyone has to ask themselves professionally, personally, and so forth. But Albert Einstein said that imagination is the preview of life's coming attraction. Yeah. You are the director. You are the producer. You're the actor. You're playing out in your mind how you got to this moment. So if you pause, your imagination is that untapped, unlimited canvas where you can now throw out all the possibilities of what it is that is possible. It is limitless. Too far often we get into this, get a job, get a good get an education, get a job, and then retire maybe somewhere.
Yeah.
But only 1% of the American population really has the ability at age 65 to not work.
Yeah.
Or have a job where they're exchanging dollars for hours because they never pause long enough because it's conformity, going after what everybody else does, following a pattern that is flawed from us digital immigrants, passed on you to digital natives, that we never told you, you don't have to be in a rush.
Yeah.
So let that imagination set the stage for your vision. I like the movie Jerry Maguire, you know, Show Me the Money. He was in that grind of traveling and going from place to place, player to player. And one night he got a flash of brilliance. I need a mission statement. And he came with his vision. Only you can define your vision. A person with a vision has those boundaries of what they will do and what they won't do. The good book says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the reason why you die, the reason why you perish is because you've taken on all of these visions or ideas and comparing yourself to somebody else. Your vision is unique to you. And it's not the thing that you visually see, it's the thing that you perceive that are possible that you bring into the visible space. And that's, as an information security professional, you're building a network, you're building an architecture, you're writing code, you're looking for viruses, you're scanning for abnormalities that are coming up on your logs. You have a vision that now you have to communicate to your business partner, your operations environment, be they a nonprofit, be they a for-profit, be they an education university, whatever walk in life you find yourself, you have to be able to communicate that vision of how you are there to help advance the mission. Now, once you get all that together, you've paused, you've used your imagination, and you've set the stage for the presentation that you're going to be delivering. And now you've talked about, you've necked it down to, this is my mission statement, this is my vision. You need an organized plan.
Yes.
In order to execute and deliver and produce that video montage to then realize that vision. And then, unlike me, just do it. Take action. Charge. Move out there. Don't let the paralysis of analysis freeze you to where you never move out because fear of failure. It is in failing that you succeed, because the only person that fails is the person who fails to get back up. Yeah. When you fall, it means that way didn't work. Does not mean that you don't work and that you don't have the ability. It just means the way you went about it was not the most efficient or effective way in going through that. So pivot is P, pause, I, imagination. Really look at, you know, what is the art of the possible. And then V, your vision. You have to define what is your mission statement. What is your gift? What is your value that you bring to an organization? And then come up with an organized plan. Don't make it too gaudy, but the more organized that blueprint, that structure is, just like when you're doing an architectural drawing or you're doing coding, the more rigor you put into that organizational plan and that written instruction, the faster you can take charge and move out and make things happen. I know that was a lot, but that's what pivot means for an information security professional. If you're going from one job to another job, you're going from one class to another class, what are those lessons that you're getting from that instructor that pulls out of you your interest, pulls out of you your gift? That you have a gift, you have a unique ability. Even those who are quote unquote handicapped or you're on a scale of what they call autism, even they have a gift. They have an ability to focus on a narrow set of problems and then visually see it in a way that somebody with a normal logical way has gone into a failure repeating that this other person with their gift is able to see it in a different way, a different perspective.
Oh, man, I love that. And that really kind of hits home the point, right? It's your purpose. It's not your company's purpose that they give to you because they give you a check, right? It's not theirs, it's yours. And it's not some social media CEO who say, you know what? We're going to make you the product, build an algorithm to distract you. So sometimes I think digital natives fall in that trap or they're stuck to their phone. And you talk about doom scrolling. You might have just wasted 40 minutes scrolling when you weren't working on your purpose, but you were on a purpose from somebody else who's trying to monetize you. So I love the fact that you're hitting the home about your purpose specifically, not tied to a third party, not your boss, it's you yourself. And it really does kind of guide you, right, as you're developing your career path, where you want to go next, which piece of that IT umbrella you want to actually focus in on. And then, like you said, when the hard times come, this is why I'm pushing through. And I love that pausing, right? That pivot, pause, see what's going on. And like, oh, my family wants to talk to me. Let me put my phone down. Because the phone doesn't control me. I'm in control of myself. And I'll get back to that, right? Which is very powerful, right? Very powerful. Now, for us, like, I shave now, so you can't see my gray. And I think it also applies to us, right? So like sometimes we get stuck in our ways and it's like, we got to be prepared to pivot ourselves, right? Even if you're like 50, 60, definitely 70. So you're always young, right? So you woke up this morning, another chance. So no matter what age you are, look out what's your purpose and make sure you're on track there. So man, I'm just loving this message here.
For sure. For sure. And I like the title of the podcast, Smart IT. One thing I would always challenge those new aspiring information security professional, information technology professionals, is to learn what are SMART goals. They're specific, they're measurable, they're actionable, and I forgot what the R stands for.
They're relevant, yeah.
Relevant, yes, and a timetable. Yes. When you're able to articulate that with your supervisor and then share that with your coworkers, that's what differentiates you from everybody else. Because once again, you have a gift, you have a unique ability and a way of seeing things that brings, despite the narrative that diversity is not relevant. Diversity gives you a wider aperture in which you can then select, down select for a unique given situation, because we live in such a dynamic, changing environment where artificial intelligence is challenging us as carbon-based factors, that it may be smart, but it's only as smart as that individual that's putting that prompt in, that is pointing to the right large learning models, that is building the right foundation to come up with the right answer.
Well, that's huge, right? So we can't go back and fall back and say the machine told me to do X. It didn't work out. It wasn't my fault. Like, humans are always responsible for the consequences of their actions, irregardless of tech being involved or not. And I love that art, by the way, that relevancy. Like, you caught up in internal politics and organizations, a lot of meetings, a lot of waste of time. And you're like, what is specifically are we trying to accomplish here? And are we locking in something that's time bound, or are we just reiterating the problem, right? That goes back to that realization, like, we're here to actually correct, fix, improve. So we're going to be very specific, right, on what this environment looks like. So I do love the ability of people just to focus in here and keep moving.
So then there's always the challenge of, you know, being the smartest person in the room. If you're ever in that situation and they say, well, you're the smartest person in the room, you need to minimize your time in that room and find somebody else, or find another crowd.
Yes.
That is smarter than you, because you're the average intelligence of the five people that you have in your inner circle. So evaluate. I like what my pastor always says. In relationships, people will either add, subtract, multiply, or divide. It's incumbent upon you to be able to understand that when you have a mission in life to do something, you're going to have to deal with people and technologies and processes. You can't ever run a business that's only processes and technology. You always have to have people. And when you can effectively navigate, is this person here to add, subtract, divide, or multiple? Now you can maximize and then strategize your relationship with people, because you're going to always need people, even quote unquote bad people. They aren't really bad people. They just do bad things, or they manage, or they control in a negative way. So take from that as a way to not replicate. Subtract that from your toolbox. Don't subtract from them as an individual, right, but subtract that from your toolbox as an ineffective way to multiply and work with someone else and help them, because you will always be compensated for the size of the problem that you solve and the number of people that you scale and help. That is where income and wealth comes from, is the being able to take that gift that you have and solve and divine a problem. Because if you can design a solution to a problem that is common among many people,
oh, yeah,
that's your gift. That's your ability to be deployed.
That's your value right there, right?
Your bag.
Yeah.
That's your value.
And if you want to leave,
that's you robbing the grave.
Yeah.
That's us helping you. Don't take that to the grave with you. Only you can do what you were here to do.
Right. So next time you're in that meeting and there's 20 people in there and only three people talking, what is everybody else doing? They're holding back. And if you want to lead even without the title, you got to pull out the value from the rest of the people, or decide, you know what? I'm going to free up the half the people's time. You guys don't need to be in this meeting. Maybe that's
right.
But if everybody in the room is just saying that, we'll just hang out. We need more than just hanging out, right? We need to lead and construct the right team. It can be different from meeting to meeting. But what do we need from the people around us to build something, create something more than just we can do it individually? Let's not just default show up.
That's the beauty of the Agile framework. You know, it's, you know, you just grab the right elements that need to come in, the right ingredients, and then you just work through the master, work through it with the product owner, work through it with, you know, the owner and the process owner, and then the customer to say, okay, we've iterated this. How does this look for you? And once again, pause, yeah. Listen, you know, got the imagination of, you know, what they communicate to you. Is that in line with your vision, the team that you have, the organized plan working, take charge and move out.
I love it. So any more preview you want to give the audience about this book that I've heard about?
Well, it's written.
Yeah.
It's on my PC. Matter of fact, it's on the PC that we're on talking to you right now. I've shared it with a few folks. Yeah. It's really a challenge and a testimony, I guess, about my journey. When I graduated from college, I had to take a English exam based on my failure in my first semester. I took 21 semester credit hours. I had a 1.6 GPA. I was put on academic probation. My professor of aerospace studies did one of these to me. And military officers don't have 1.6 GPAs, young man. And you got to figure out, you know, what you're going to do in order to get commissioned and graduate so you can be an officer. So needless to say, I finished in 4, but it was a community that was around me that helped me. And I listened to and followed a plan, but I'd take an exit exam on writing. So writing has always been one of those things that personally I've had to work to overcome the self-critical nature that I have in what I write. Okay. I mean, I'm just now, of a certain age, but, you know, where I'm used to hearing my own voice.
Oh.
For many years, I never wanted to hear a recording of myself or watch a recording of myself because that's how uncomfortable I felt about myself. But just like you, Les Brown, yes. Him telling his story,
yes.
Him going and sharing and being vulnerable, being transparent, that transformed me to say, it's not what you think, Vic. It's what other people think that you think. You think, but the whole thing is, what are you thinking? Like Henry Ford said, if you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right. You have to transform, change the way you think.
And that's what the root of every change in every person's life is how you think. So Paul, yes. That's the place to start. That's where it troubleshoot all your issues in your life. All right, man. This is fantastic, man. This is, I think, some great knowledge for our audience here. Is there anything you want to leave this crowd with before we sign off?
The 5 questions. And these are the 5 questions that Dr. Miles Monroe challenged me with. I mean, he lived his life to the fullest. That even from the grave, I'm still able to extract from what he deposited in me and deposited in you so that you can answer these 5 questions because they're very important and only you can answer them. So the first question,
yeah.
Why am I here? Purpose. The only difference between you, the prince and the pauper, they all have the exact same hours in a day. What are you doing with your hours? Are you begging? Are you believing and leading? What you do with those hours, that's what determines your outcome and your destiny. So purpose, why am I here? Only you can define that. Only you can answer that. Who am I?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Identification. A lot of people identify themselves by gender. They identify themselves by race. They identify themselves by class. But is that really who you are? Need to sit down and find out, you know,
yeah.
From the architect of the universe. And, you know, different people have different faiths and beliefs. I'm like, I'll leave that up to you because that's your maker. That's your creator. You have to define, who am I? And if you're an atheist, hey, you still have to define who you are.
Yeah.
So where am I from? Origination. You got to know where you started. You know, where did your parents start? Origination is very important because if you know origination, then you can answer The next question, your destination.
Where am I going?
Once again, only you can answer that question. You don't want to go through life all the way, you know, to 65, 70, not knowing your destination, because that's like a ship that leaves out of a harbor with no master helmsman guiding that rudder. And remember, the rudder is the smallest part of that ship,
yes,
other than the wheel from the helmsman.
There, yes.
Smallest part of this ship.
Yes.
Time. What do we say? We are speaking beings. What is your destination? You have to define what that is. And then the gift. What can I do? What is my occupation? What is my vocation? You have to define what it is. Don't look to someone else. It's like trying to find one snowflake here and one snowflake here and say they're the same. There is no duplication in that. Just like the fingerprint.
Oh, yeah. Unique.
The fingerprint is unique to you. The optical reader, it's unique to you. That's what makes it secure or more secure. It's because it is unique to you. Five questions. Everybody's got to answer it. Don't take it to the grave. Why am I here? Who am I? Where am I from? Where am I going? And what can I do? We're grave robbers. Pulling out of you your vision, your mission, and your purpose in life, how to pivot to success.
Oh, man. We got to see this. From 10, 15, 20, 10,000, millions of people, you have the opportunity to go and think about those five questions, ruminate on them, put some thought into them, and come back and answer. So I'd love to just to see people come back and post and say,
here
are my answers I'm willing to share, and don't take it to the grave with you.
Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Hey, Vic, man, this has been fantastic, man. I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your insights with my audience today. We could go on for another hour or so easily. But I think everybody got my producer C is probably banging on the thing behind it. So at this point, we're going to close out the show, man. And anytime you want to come back on, hey, you're always welcome.
I thank you, the audience, for your time. Like I said, hopefully the dime that you invested of your time will give you a larger return, that you can find your purpose in life. You can pivot on purpose to success. When I was given the opportunity in military to serve in a trusted position within our intelligence community, I always gave this acrostic. Choose life. Every day you are making a life choice. And that's the first thing is love. If you find what you love and that you're passionate about, I guarantee you, you will never work another day in your life, because that's your gift. That's your passion. That's what drives you. That's what gets you out of the bed in the morning and says, I'm not done yet. And then integrity. Know that everything and anything you do, especially in the information security space, someone is always watching you. So don't waste time. Don't waste your gift by trying to take a shortcut, because you're going to spend more time and lose more time trying to undo that shortcut you took. It takes a lifetime to build a reputation, and only 1 second, one click of the mouse, one misspoken word to ruin your reputation. I like what General Colin Powell said about family, which is the F. At the end of the day, and this is something that I'm still working on, it's about a life-work balance. Family is first. That's why I said, at least one day a week, put down that device. There's nothing in that feed that is more important than the person that is sitting right across from you. when you go to your final resting place, it's not going to be that last doom scroll you've done or that last resume or that last project or that last programming. It's those people that are around you. My great aunt is in her 99th year, still in her right mind, but she knows it's time to graduate.
Yeah.
She knows what her destination is. And do you know who's around her? Her family, those near and those far. And we celebrate her life because she taught us and she deposited in us the importance of family. Just like my grandmother, her sister, family is first. Family is forever. Forever. That's what eternity is. And then education. Always be learning. Everywhere starts, but always be closing. Always be learning. Every day is a new day to learn something financially, something information-wise, something professionally, something personal, something spiritual. Get a mentor who will take the time not to be your friend, but help you on what you need to learn and grow and challenge you so that the life choices that you make today will set the stage for your family, for the character, for the things that you love, the things that you value, because that's what endures and that's what's important. So the dime that you waste, that you invested of your time, I hope this time will bring you good success. And if I can help you, like I always tell folks, reach out. You'll be surprised. Be like, he really responded.
Yes. I love it, Vic. I love this. Man, the words of wisdom, that's going to be a lot to digest here. I think it's going to be one episode that people are going to watch over and over again. So I appreciate your time today, man. And now we're going to close out another episode of the Smart IT Podcast. Until next time, be well.
Thanks for joining another episode of the Smart IT Podcast, where we explore what's next for IT and disrupt the status quo, simplify the complex, and reduce risk together. If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, and leave your comments. And for more Smart IT wisdom, check out my website at williamreed.info.